Jerry Bader Show 950. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It's a story that I tried to get to before Thanksgiving, and for whatever reason, I just never got the chance. It was in the Sunday, November 24th, I believe that was, New York Times. A week ago Sunday. Well, if I got the number wrong, that's fine. A week ago Sunday, New York Times. Right versus left in the Midwest. A liberal who, where's Lawrence Jacobs? He's a professor of political science at the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota. He makes the case that the liberal Governor Dayton in Minnesota has fared better than the conservative Governor Walker in Wisconsin. Jason's like, is this a joke? Is Alan Funt going to rise from the dead and appear somewhere? By the way, that's Candid Camera, for those of you too young to know. Before I get into this further, one more tease for you ladies. Facebook.com/Bader page. Picture of the woman in her undies 4 days after giving birth, which has women everywhere furious. Right versus left in the Midwest. Let me read just a bit of this. Minnesota and Wisconsin share much more than bone-chilling winters. German and Northern European roots, farming, and until recently, a populist progressive tradition stretching back a century. But in 2010, these cousin states diverged. By doing so, they began a natural experiment that compares the agendas of modern progressivism and the new right. Wisconsin elected Republicans to majorities in the legislature and elected a bold and vigorous Republican governor, Scott Walker. Minnesotans elected one of the most progressive candidates for governor in the country, Mark Dayton. A month after Mr. Walker's inauguration, he catapulted himself to the front ranks of national conservative leaders with attacks on the collective bargaining rights of civil service unions and sharp reductions in taxes and spending. Once Mr. Dayton teamed up with the Democratic legislature, Minnesota adopted some of the most progressive policies in the country. Minnesota raised taxes by $2 billion, the largest increase in recent state history. Democrats introduced the fourth highest income tax bracket in the country and targeted the top 1% of earners to pay 62% of the new taxes, according to the Department of Revenue. Which side of the experiment, the new right or modern progressivism? Let me stop there. That's not modern. Taxing the crap out of people is liberalism. Nothing modern about that at all. Has been most effective in increasing jobs and improving business opportunities, not to mention living conditions. Obviously, firm answers will require more time and more data, but the first round of evidence gives the edge to Minnesota's model of increased services, higher costs, mostly for the affluent, and reduced payments to entrenched interests, like the insurers who cover the Medicaid population. 3 years into Mr. Walker's term, Wisconsin lags behind Minnesota in job and economic growth. As a candidate, Mr. Walker promised to produce 250,000 jobs. So far, he has produced about 90,000. He blames his Democratic predecessor for these disappointments, but according to Forbes' annual list of best states for business, Wisconsin continues to rank in the bottom half, but the number is growing. However, Jim Doyle had us in such a hole, it will take time. Along with California, Minnesota is the fifth fastest-growing state economy, with private sector growth exceeding pre-recession levels. But he doesn't say, but he throws no numbers out. Isn't that interesting? He gives the numbers for Wisconsin, but he doesn't give the numbers for Minnesota. Forbes rates Minnesota as eighth best state for business. Republicans deserve some of the credit, particularly for their commitment to education reform. They also argue that Minnesota's new growth stems from the low taxes and reduced spending under Mr. Dayton's Republican predecessor, Tim Pawlenty. But Minnesota's job growth was subpar during his 8-year tenure and recovered only under Mr. Dayton. The easiest thing in the world to do is start spending a lot of government money. But it's short-lived. And even at that, all he points out here is government growth under Dayton. He says it's helped the state economy, but he doesn't provide the numbers. Yet he provided hard numbers for Wisconsin. Isn't that interesting? I asked the governor's office, Governor Walker's office, for this, for a response. Now, they throw some boilerplate out, but I want to add to it. The budget raised taxes by approximately $2 billion, and they have a $1.1 billion deficit, which this guy doesn't mention. They raised taxes by $2 billion, and they still have a $1.1 billion deficit in Minnesota. We had a $3.6 billion deficit, and 2 years later, we now have a surplus. And in the last budget, we lowered the overall tax burden by $1.5 billion on Wisconsin families and businesses. We're continuing to lower the overall cost of doing business in this state, and we're moving in the right direction. In the past, Wisconsin tried those failed policies that Minnesota's using now, and all it did was give the state record job loss and $3.6 billion budget deficit. Under Governor Scott Walker, we've seen the best 2 years of Wisconsin growth in a decade. Scott may have overestimated with the 250,000, but let me tell you, you've got to look at how bad job growth was under Jim Doyle. And he glosses over this as though job creation sucked under Pawlenty as bad as it did under Doyle. It didn't. According to the monthly job estimates, Wisconsin has created 34,000 jobs year-to-date in 2013, the best job growth since 2004. The final results of the two different approaches won't be known until the policies have had time to take effect. Wisconsin will see long-term benefits from its structural and fiscal reforms brought about by the last two budgets as well as Act 10. And let me stop there. Mark Dayton also didn't deal with a conservative base that disrupted this state and made it look like a war zone for 2 years and buried it in recalls. You don't think the uncertainty of recalls? You don't think the uncertainty of recalls have hurt Wisconsin? Yeah, fastest growing from where? How big of a hole were they in? But the easiest thing to do is do it artificially by expanding government, which ultimately runs out. And as Tom Evenson from the governor's office pointed out, we tried that in Wisconsin. Where were we? That's the other thing. This guy acts as though this has never been tried in Wisconsin. It has. It failed. Look at Illinois. Eventually, this catches up. For example, if my wife and I extend all of the credit that we have, we could look like we're doing very well. I mean, if we just spent like fools, we could have two much nicer cars, a much bigger house, and take much bigger vacations. For how long? For how long? Wisconsin found out it can't be forever. Illinois still is trying to be in denial that it can't be forever. One, I do question the growth numbers, but even at that, whatever growth they're recognizing is going to be very short-lived because the bill comes due. You can go ahead and do it artificially. That's fine. Ask the federal government about that. But at some point, the party's over, and you have to pay the bill. They're just enjoying the party right now. In Minnesota, the bill hasn't come due. It will. They increased taxes $2 billion and have a billion-dollar deficit. This will eventually, California, Illinois, that's where Minnesota's headed. All right, in the next hour, just a fascinating topic in my mind, and another two attacks by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's 9:59.
Things Jerry Bader, JerryBaderShow.com.